Welcome to the Harvest Time Podcast, where our mission is the commission to make disciples. Join us as we delve into candid discussions, share inspiring stories, and take practical steps in growing together as dynamic ambassadors for the gospel. Get ready to embrace your purpose as a laborer in God's harvest field. I'm your producer, David, and here are your hosts, Katie and Caitlin.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Harvest Time Podcast. Today, we are talking about hungering for God and unpacking the spiritual discipline of fasting. And Caitlin and I are joined today by my husband, David. So, hi, David. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, how today is going to go is I just have a couple of talking points to just facilitate some conversation. Caitlin and David have both spent a little bit more time with this spiritual discipline, and so we're eager to just learn more about their insights and what they've gleaned from the Lord on this topic. But to start off, I think it would be really helpful if one of you could kind of just give a base of what's the purpose of fasting, maybe a definition of biblical fasting, where in scripture do we see that this is important? Just give us some biblical principles right off the bat for us.
Yeah, so I think kind of a general definition of biblical fasting, at least the Caitlin definition, is to deny yourself of something that is necessary typically, or that we've deemed as necessary. There's kind of two distinctions there. So in the Bible, we always see people fasting food. Now that we have, you know, technology and other modern conveniences, sometimes people will fast those as kind of a non-food fast. But the goal is to posture oneself in humility, and then also to be able to worship the Lord and to pray through a difficult time, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. So moving into, you know, you both have had some experiences with fasting. I would love for both of you to share a little bit more about your personal experiences. You can either share maybe the most profound season of fasting or just a time where the Lord really used that in your life. But I'd love both of you to share a story in that regard.
Yeah, I think for me, fasting, it's just, there's two instances generally when I go into a fast. It's normally, okay, there's something at hand. I need to make a decision, or there's a choice to make. And it's like, I'm just uncertain and I need clarity. God, I need your guidance. And so I just kind of go dive into prayer, go into fasting, just so that I can be focused on Christ and centered on him so that he can just more guide me in what's at hand. But then other times it's not always just a, oh, I need an answer, so I'm gonna fast. It's sometimes it's just kind of a, I need to refocus or reorient my eyes towards him and just be in his presence, in a sense, where it's just, I need to take the focus off myself and just spend time with him. And for me, fasting is a great way for me to do that.
Yeah, I love that so much. I'm thinking of this specific fest, actually, that I did a couple years ago. Me and my like intercession partner decided that we were going to do, I think it was a 9-day bread and water fast. And so we said, okay, you can have like 2 or 3 pieces of like bread a day and then just drink water. And we said, okay, we need to make sure we're specific in the fast so we know what we're focusing on. And so we had like 2 different things that we were fasting over. And it was so powerful because you become like weak, you know, like we both lost weight that week. Like we were both low in energy, but the prayers that we were praying were like so specific because we were so empty of ourselves that we could just like pray whatever he was saying. And the things that I fasted for, like I actually saw happen during that week and have continued to see fruit from that, which is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I was really thankful for that. But actually I want to share another quick one. So back in November of 2023, I was doing a prayer and fasting day. That's actually the day that this podcast got birthed. Was because God was just talking to me and I was like, this is insane revelation. And it's just what David was saying. You know, I just took my eyes off of everything else and I put it on him, and he started talking to me, and I was actually available to God to listen to him.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you guys tell people when you're fasting, or is that something you hold close to your heart? You know, what are the practicals of that in a culture, and most cultures, you know, have a lot of ceremony and events around food and meals. And so how do you navigate that while also maintaining the secret place with the Lord?
So I like to not tell anybody. I do tell one person, and is that that's my wife, because she meal preps. And so if I'm not going to be eating dinner, she might fix something that, like, I don't like cilantro, so she might fix something. But just the practicality of, like,
Entire plate of cilantro.
but just the practicality of, oh, my husband's not eating. Why is he not? Oh, okay. So she's aware. Other than that, I try not to tell anybody. We do throughout our typical week, there's at least two meals that we eat with a Bible study or just a community group of sorts. And so if someone asks, like, oh, I'm just not eating. But if they ask beyond that, I will tell them. I'm not gonna be like, no, I can't tell you why. But I'm not volunteering, like, hey guys, I'm not eating because I'm no, I just won't say anything unless asked, kind of thing.
Yeah. So I started out fasting and I would tell people, and then there's a verse in scripture and I'm forgetting where it is at the moment, but it's literally basically like, don't go saying you're fasting. It's in Matthew 6, right after the Sermon on the Mount. And I was like, oh no, I better stop telling people. And so now I don't really tell people. Again, if it's like a gathering and they're like, why are you not eating? And they're kind of persistent about it, I'll be like, oh, I'm fasting, and just leave it at that. And
Do you guys ever have a season of fasting that isn't spiritually related? Maybe addressing the concept of fasting versus cleansing, or fasting for physical reasons versus spiritual reasons. If you can't speak to that, that's fine, but just thought I might ask.
I know there's times where my heart isn't in the right place and I try to fast and it's just not beneficial at all. I'm more grumpy, upset, I'm starving, and there's no food in quotation marks that I'm eating, kind of thing. And so it's like, what am I doing? Is this pointless? And so when my heart isn't in the right place, there's that element of why am I fasting? And so there's been like a time or two where I'm just like, okay, let me stop. Let me start another day and then do it again.
So would you say that sometimes fasting is what gets your heart into the right place versus your heart being in the place you need it to be before the fast?
I would say there's both and or. It isn't just a, okay, I'm ready to go in. It's like sometimes it's like I need to go into my fast. And then as I'm fasting, it's like, oh, okay. It's not just a I can't go in until I'm ready. Sometimes I just have to go in so that I am ready.
Yeah, what about you, Caitlin?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's been times where I thought, oh, I'm supposed to fast about this, and I've tried, and kind of like David said, it just kind of tanks, and I can always tell if the Lord has prompted the fast or if I have prompted the fast, because there's so much grace for when He prompts it. Like sometimes I won't even be hungry after the first couple days, and I just had this like really clear focus, and I'm like, this doesn't happen on my own. So yeah, it's very obvious to me very quickly, like who is the leader in this situation.
Yeah, I've noticed when it's of myself, it's like, man, day one, I can't do it. But then like other times where it's like, how many days are we? Wow, man, I feel great. Like, and that's like I can't force that on my own. I can't. So it's really encouraging because you know it is of God when you have energy, when you've like for me, sometimes it's just water or milk and honey. It's like I have energy still? How? Like I've been outside working. This isn't supposed to be that way.
Caitlin, we talked about this briefly the other day, but I would love for you to speak to maybe just some more specific scenarios in which we might find ourselves that make it really challenging to fast. You know, for example, I'm pregnant right now. It is medically not wise for me to fast. So one, you know, are there ways that we can modify a fast to make sure that we are in physical safety, but also just speaking to situations in which our relationship with food might be really complicated and hinder our ability to wisely fast.
Yeah, for sure. So a big part of my testimony and just like something that God has delivered me from, actually it was February 28th of 2022. I had this encounter and had been doing a lot of heart to work and then had an encounter and got freed. But I had struggled with like anorexia and body dysmorphia for like about at least a decade, basically. Mm-hmm. And praise God, he freed me from that. And so I remember getting freed and the Lord was like, I want you to try to fast. And I was like, oh my goodness, like I finally get to do this. And yeah. It was like the most beautiful thing. But there are certain seasons, even now, like even though I'm healed, that, you know, the enemy just comes sometimes. And if I'm like having a little bit of struggle with my relationship with food or with my body, like I just won't fast. Yeah. Because the enemy just begins to play mind games, and I actually have more clarity to focus on God if I just do what I've been doing rather than that. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to be really careful. So to be frank, like right now I'm in a season where he's like, you're not supposed to fast food. And so I haven't been doing that. And that's really hard because I really like to just like empty myself in that way. But he's had me fast other things, and even some of the things I've fasted, I've even just like gotten rid of. So for example, like I haven't watched any TV, and then I was like, well, I don't need my TV account. So I just deleted it and I don't miss it at all. Sometimes I'll fast my phone, like any kind of entertainment. Sometimes I'll fast music just to clear my head and hear his voice only. So it just kind of depends. But yeah, we definitely want to make sure that people are aware that like not everybody probably can fast, mm-hmm. but it's more about like the heart posture of like whatever you're giving up or changing in your routine or denying yourself. And I've even had times where he sometimes has me add something, mm-hmm. get up earlier and intercede for an extra hour, or write an encouraging letter to someone once a week or something like that. And there's been other fruit, taking time to kind of like serve other people instead of something I might do for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just to add to that, there's been times, at least once or twice, where I've started fast and then like I get some kind of virus or bug where it's like I need some nourishment, mm-hmm. like, and so like for me it's like in that scenario it's like, okay, do I just tough it out, or it's like, no, I should probably take care of what my body actually needs. And so like for others, if there's like diabetes or other things at play where it's like you need to sustain certain blood sugar levels and stuff like that, it's like, okay, maybe this, like maybe you need this thing. Or sometimes for me it's like I still take vitamins and some other supplements that like my body needs, mm-hmm. During a fast, and so like, yeah, there are exceptions I think are necessary for our fallen bodies because we're just broken. But
yeah,
I'd also be caution with that as far as not, oh, well, I want
making need excuses. Wants.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah, you're right. Heart posture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. And sometimes, you know, like people do like a Daniel fast than that before, or, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes people will be like, oh, I'm going to eat like lean meats and like vegetables or something. So there's like ways to still like eat food, but you just like, maybe you don't have whatever coffee drink or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Studying fasting in scripture would be a really awesome exercise just to learn about. You know, we could even talk, probably do a whole episode on like corporate fasting. I don't know if either of you have been a part of any sort of church-wide or body of believers fasting, if you want to comment on that briefly.
Yeah, my church does like quarterly fasts, actually. So we do a 21-day fast in January, and then we have the other three are like, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 day fasts for specific purposes. We'll fast for school leaders at the beginning of the school year. We'll do like an Easter fast, that kind of thing.
Is the 21-day fast like the Daniel fast, or is it a full fast?
Yeah, so people, sometimes we do like a Daniel fast, and then this year it was open to whatever people wanted to do. Okay. So some people didn't eat, some people did the Daniel fast, some people, you know, did their phone or whatever. So we all just kind of did different things. And then our pastor will, you know, just encourage us to be together. We have like prompts that we pray through every day. And so it really creates a lot of unity. Mm-hmm. And there's usually a lot of breakthrough that happens. And then something I think is really important is being able to share the testimony of what did God do while you were fasting, mm-hmm. Because then you see like, oh, there really was a purpose, and you can edify the body that way.
Yeah.
I've been a part of that. A couple of churches I've been to or have done that. And for me, I felt like it missed something. Not that it wasn't a good practice and not that it wasn't beneficial, but like there was one time, or at one of the churches I went to, we would have a, I think a monthly, yeah, one day during a month, we'd have a day of fasting and prayer. And then, so we would fast or supposed to fast during that day. And then we'd go to the church and pray, but not everyone fasted. And so some people there have fasted, some people didn't. And then afterwards, some of the people that did fast, they're like, all right, you want to go get dinner? I'm like, I don't feel right ending the day with food if it's a day of like, and that was my personal conviction. Now, I don't know if there was anything wrong with that, but for me, there just seemed a disjointed. It wasn't necessarily, for me personally, it didn't feel together when we did it. And so, like, I think hearing you, where it's like hearing from other people, like, what happened while you did, or how did it, like, what was going, like, having those conversations to me sounds so much better. Like, it sounds like you're doing it together, not just a, hey, I'm gonna send out an email to the congregation. Whoever wants to participate, do it. We're not gonna ask or check in. We might come to prayer if we can't. And so, again, I don't want to judge other people as far as whether it was beneficial or not, but for me, it was just, I would participate, but it was just kind of,
Didn't quite meet the
yeah.
expectations of
And
what it should
yeah.
be.
And so I found when I do my personal fasts, it just, I find that much more beneficial than that particular congregational fast. Not, I'm not saying that congregational fast isn't good or is bad, but I'm just saying in those particular circumstances, in at those churches, it just wasn't very fruitful for me.
That brings up a good question. Can both of you speak to spiritual warfare that you've experienced during your fast? And then, Caitlin, you did a little bit, but speak to the spiritual clarity that you received either during or at the end of your fast.
Far as, man, how do I think out loud while on a
Yeah. To be fair, I did not give
podcast?
them the questions beforehand. So this is very live and very authentic.
Yeah, we're sitting here trying to think about these deep things really fast.
It is encouraging as far as the clarity side of stuff. When fasting, it's like I just oftentimes when I fast and I tell Katie just so she's aware as far as how she's gonna or what she's gonna fix for our family. She might ask me, do you know how long? I'm like, I don't know, at least a few days. Like I might give like at least 3 years or something like that. But then I myself don't know how long I'm gonna go. And it's probably varied from what from time to time, pretty much all the time. And so when I am seeking guidance or just direction in a decision, it's like there's just this peace when it's like, oh, clarity. Let me go get a hamburger. Like, but no, it's just like you're just sensing God's presence. I mean, sensing God's presence in what you're seeking, and just seeing the clarity there is just so, it's palatable.
I feel like when we talk after your fasts, it often has a lot less to do with like, oh, this was the answer God gave me, and a whole lot more to do with the peace and the presence of God. Because I know that you've gotten to the end of some fasts and you haven't had clarity on a decision, but you've had peace that regardless of the outcome, God is with us. And most of the time, these decisions impact our whole family. This isn't just for you. And so, getting to the other side of a fast where you're like, okay, like I don't really know what God is going to do with this, but He is with us and present. And I feel like that's the true gift that you've received.
And I think bouncing off that some more, and I think Caitlin, you mentioned some of your other types of fasts outside of food. But when I find that I'm doing a food fast, I have one game on my phone and I have a lot of music on my phone, and that stuff just kind of disappears during that time. Like I'm not finding myself, oh, I'm in the car, let me turn on some music. I'm not listening to podcasts, I'm not listening to music, and that's
Except ours, of course. I'm just kidding.
but I don't find my, it's not an intentional choice. It's just like I don't need this. I don't want this. Like I'm there's a solitude and quietness that just happens. And I think that kind of speaks to the peace. And I think some of the spiritual warfare that can take place is when maybe when my daughter wants all this music playing, whether it's Elmo or Dora the Explorer or just things that are just distracting. But I wouldn't say as far, like, I don't experience a ton of spiritual warfare. Like, that's just blatant. I think it's very subliminal and just very, like, if it's there, it's very, it's quiet because I think because of where I'm at in my fast and who I'm with in that, I think that's a big factor, a big part.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan just, yes, that day or first day or two, yeah, there's temptation to eat food or just like, what's one little bite? Or, do you need to go this long? Like, there's those temptations, but they're just.
It's almost like the fast itself is a weapon against warfare.
Yeah. And that, that's what I feel like what it's like, because it's just, it's not like, oh, what's going on? It's like, no, this is what I'm doing. And what's there to be in my way? It's like, yeah, I'm hungry, or yeah, there's a good podcast to listen to, or this song that I like. Huh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I think the warfare that I've experienced when fasting is more like just the wrestle against my own flesh and blood, you know, like the wrestle against the spirit and the flesh, I think is really where the warfare is for me. And honestly, it's really humbling. And it just reminds me like, okay, I need you, like I need to cry out to you, and has shown me some things that I didn't know were there before, you know, and I've been able to deal with those things and get rid of them. And that in and of itself brings a lot of clarity. But I do think there's something to be said for fasting just for worship. Sometimes I'll just do that. Like I'm not seeking a direction. I don't need an answer. I'm not, you know, repenting from something.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, you know, I'm not being Nehemiah or Daniel or anybody like that. Sometimes I just do it to worship the Lord and just remind myself that like I only have animation because of Him. And so that's really, I think it's kind of like fun, and it's not warfare. I mean, worship is warfare, but you know, the key to warfare, and we can get into this later if we talk about spiritual warfare. But the key to that is to focus on God anyways. So I agree with what you said, like it's its own weapon.
Well, kind of driving it home with this last question, just some practical guidance for fasting. You're welcome to caution people or just give personal testimony of how you like to structure things, if structure's your thing, or, you know, David, you mentioned milk and honey, Caitlin, bread and water, things like that. So yeah, if you guys can just share a little bit to encourage people of maybe first steps, if especially if they're new to fasting.
Yeah, I feel like fasting isn't a popular thing. So if that's something that you have heard or don't really know or wondered if you should even try it. Like check your heart and just go before God and try it. It doesn't have to be this big revelation of, oh wow, I've prayed and now this thing is answered. Sometimes I've heard a lot of stories of how that happens, but just in the quietness of your heart, go before God. And it doesn't have to be a huge whatever you think it might or might should be, but I think just spend time with Christ and do it in a way that might be uncomfortable or something you've never tried before, which might be a fast. And I think that for me, like that's just without that practice, like my walk is very different. My life in Christ is just, it's different. And so doing that, it's just so, it's becoming a part of who I am. Like I, more and more, I regularly try to do a fast because it's just how I think in some way how I worship, but also how I just be with Christ. And so just all that to say, all my rambling, just encourage you to try it, to do it. And you might find that, oh, you might need, maybe depending on where you live, you might need some more electrolytes or something like that. Okay, what can you modify for your safety of not dehydrating and passing out? Like, you can figure it out, and there's freedom in that. But also, I just encourage you just to try cutting what you can out.
The goal is not comfort, but also God is gracious towards our safety, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, when you're deciding to do a fast, or if the Lord is like, you should fast or whatever, I would definitely like take a week or even like just 3 days to kind of prepare your body. Oftentimes it's recommended that you kind of switch like maybe like snack food, or if you have like a meal with a side, to be like something that's like water soluble, so like apples, celery, things like that. It just gets your body used to like depending more on water than on like calories. And so that's really helpful because it helps you ease into the fast. I admittedly like don't do that very well, but it's like a really good thing to be able to do that. But number one thing is like if you're doing like a no food fast and you're just like drinking water, like be sure to drink plenty of it, because otherwise you're gonna get a lot of brain fog and your body's gonna act really weird and it's not fun. I say that from experience. But yeah, and then be specific, I think, too, set a specific goal so you have something that you're like doing during that time. And then I've kind of learned, in moments where I'm like, oh, like I'm so hungry and I'm like thinking about it at this particular moment. I'm like, no, I want to think about Jesus, not about my stomach. I kind of have these like key passages that I go to in scripture, and my favorite psalm to read while I'm fasting is Psalm 119. It's really long. And it's so rich, and it will literally just like take my hunger away. Like it's happened several times. So try to find out like something that would work for you, where you can like be in the word and like feast on it quite literally.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. 'Cause like, yeah, don't just cut out food just for cutting out food's sake. Like, if you're hungry, if you have that urge to eat something, maybe. Like sometimes for me, it's like, okay, pray. Okay, read the Psalms. Okay, what was that verse that I wanted to memorize about? We do not live on bread alone. Like passages like that. Or, and yeah, so just like having those things to, in a way, replace that hunger or that desire for something, but kind of changing that desire for food for changing that desire for food, like the food that Christ gives us, the bread that is everlasting, is a very important part of the fast.
Well, I appreciate you guys hopping on and sharing about how and why we need to hunger for God. I do want to end by reading a portion of Isaiah 58. This has been a wonderful chapter for Caitlin and I in this podcast, but I feel like we would be remiss to not talk about it. Go back and read the whole chapter. I'm going to start. Let's see. I think I'm going to start in verse 9. So in context, of this is true fasting, godly fasting, and the results of it. These are the blessings that come from fasting and hungering for the Lord. It says, "Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasures or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken."
Amen.